Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. The Leadership Hour.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's Ihsan Higgins here. I'm getting a bit of feedback here. Okay, so yeah, shukran to the listeners for tuning into Voice of the Cape. That's a bit better. Yes, I can hear it's a bit better now. Yeah, shukran for the listeners for tuning into Voice of the Cape. Tonight we were gonna have a program we're gonna do Mr. Imran, who was the legend of Trafalgar, you know, legend of Bukup, an activist. And then, of course, we received the devastating news of the demise of Dr. Anwar Nagia. And, you know, Dr. Anwar, true leader of the community, true servant of the community, and, of course, through his kindness, his generosity, and his activism, of course, lots of people, millions of people, has been touched, you know, by the kindness and life of Dr. Anwar Nagia. We have many people that would love to pay tribute to Dr. Anwar Nagia, but tonight, you know, we're going to have a few people, you know, people that were very, very close to Dr. Anwar Nagia. We're going to have them pay tribute to this great soul, this great leader that we had in our midst for many, many years. And of course, inshallah, we will have many more tributes to Dr. Anwar Nagia over the next few days and weeks. But for now, we are going to have, I think we have Judge Bashir Wagley on the line, who's also the judge president of the Labour Court. Judge, assalamu alaikum, are you on the line?
Yes.
Shukran for agreeing. I know it's a very, very difficult time for all of us, for all people that knew Anwar, but you were especially close to him, Judge. And is there anything that you wish to say about him at this point?
Yes, I mean, firstly, as one who is totally unaccustomed to public speaking, albeit on the radio, it is doubly difficult to do it.
And that's why we are so grateful to have you online now.
Yeah, it's difficult at this somber and sad occasion. I met Anwar in 1976 when I got to Trafalgar High School in what was then Standard 8.
Mm-hmm.
We became very good friends and remained friends since then. Trafalgar, we ran the SRC, though we didn't call it, we called it something else.
You called it the Cultural Society.
The Cultural Society, that's right.
Mm.
We were very active and arranged debates, sports and other activities. And we did this with schools in Langa and Guguletu. We were the only so-called colored school which interacted with black schools at the time. And Anwar used to organize these events, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anwar had this amazing talent at being able to organize anything.
Yes.
One of the most remarkable things he organized at school was a stamp exhibition. When teachers at the school heard about it, they smirked. But it attracted very serious stamp collectors in the Cape. It was hailed as the best stamped exhibition ever held in the Western Cape.
Mm.
We not only made news locally, but internationally, in stamp collecting circles everywhere.
Mm.
But his contribution, of course, and the contributions of his friends and comrades at school did not stop at school politics. I remember that he and I represented Trafalgar with students such as Ibrahim Patel at the time, who was now the Minister of Trade and Industry, with the factories and Moni's boycott. Older people may remember that, those people of our ages. Also, there was a Roundtree Sweets boycott, which we participated in and made sure our schools participated in. And many more such struggles. We made sure we took part in trade union activities struggles in support of workers being able to join trade union movements. And Anwar was always on the forefront of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That was at school level. After schooling, Anwar carried on with his fight for justice. He involved himself in all sorts of public interest issues.
Mm-hmm.
He always made himself available to fight the people's fight. His struggles and contributions are a matter of public record. For being arrested and being at a beach reserved for whites, to being arrested for being in possession of banned literature.
Mm.
There were, however, two things I need to say which were very close to his heart. One, the return of the people of District 6 to District 6, and the other, the return of the people of Palestine to Palestine.
Mm.
His contribution to the District 6 project is well recorded. His contribution cannot be measured. Often he spent his own money to get things done. His passion for the struggle of the freedom of Palestine is also a matter of public record. He was, as many of you will know, busy establishing a Palestine museum. He spent millions of rands of his own money to get it established.
Yeah.
Sadly, just when it was nearing its completion, he leaves us. His contribution will, however, not go without a note in history of the Cape.
Mm.
His legacy is and will be there for all to see. He will be missed. He will be missed not only by his family and friends, but by the community he so steadfastly served and the country to whom he contributed so much. Mm. I just pray that he be granted, I'm sure he will, may he be granted the highest place in Jannah. And may they be solace for his family and friends.
Judge, shukran for that tribute to Anwar. And I mean, it's a small part of his life. And I mean, you obviously know a lot about his life. You've been with him since a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's the one thing about Anwar. He kept his friends and he never ever had a bad word to say about anyone. And he had a beautiful saying, and that saying was that truth requires a majority of one. And I mean, I think that's probably the quote that will stand out for me about his life.
And he always found the best in people. He was able to always see what's good in them, rather than looking for the bad things, and that was amazing. And we often had fights about that.
Mm. Judge, we are very happy that you were with us on air tonight. And I believe that you also had a little bit of a struggle with COVID, and you beat it. And we're very grateful for that.
Yeah, I just wish you could have joined me in this beating this.
Yeah, shukran for that, Judge.
Terrible pandemic, anyway. Yeah.
Shukran. We'll speak soon, Judge. Shukran very much for your participation.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
The Leadership Hour.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. For those people that just joined us now, we have on our Leadership Hour tonight a tribute to the late Dr. Anwar Nagia. We have obviously moved the rest of our program to a later point. But there's so many people. I mean, Anwar was a true leader in our community. He was a true leader in the country. He was a true leader internationally. So I think it's only fit, you know, that we, at Voice of the Cape, pay tribute to this great soul, to this person who actually, you know, gave his life to the community. The next person we have on the line will be Mr. Usi Shabuddin. Assalamu alaikum, Usi.
Wa alaikum salam, Ifa.
It's sad. I mean, normally I'm quite happy to hear everybody's voices, you know, and here tonight I'm not in such a great frame of happiness. It's one of the saddest events that I've experienced. I mean, the passing of Dr. Anwar. And, Usi, you've been very close to him as well. Can you give us a little bit of insight?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I want to go back on, we go back 49 years, myself and Anwar. I met him as a young man, and we were both young at Trafalgar High School, where we first got to know the politics of the country in order to find out what we can do in order to change. And it was there that Anwar became the chairperson of what we would call the SRC. And then we became part of a committee of 80 in 1976. And I can never forget this, when the first shot of Trafalgar High School, when the riot police actually shot the first tear gas over the fences, and myself and Anwar were standing there by the girls' entrance. Trafalgar had the girls and boys, not that we used it, but I mean there was a name on top, trying to convince our students to come in, you know, our fellow learners, because we knew the brutality and the ruthlessness of the
security police.
Yeah. And it was then when Anwar decided, I don't know what happened to him, and he picks up this brick and he threw it through the window of the policeman that was standing in the distance. So we had to run for our lives after that. And then somehow we got involved in stealing a gas mask. But through all our lives, I must say one thing, Iqbal. What anybody say about Anwar, in his personal life, in his political life, and even in his life as a friend, as a brother, and a comrade, he never deserted us. Put it this way, I can recall one day that we were locked up together, myself and Anwar. And there was something amiss what happened in the cell. And hulle vra nou vir ons twee, you know, who the hell? And there was a number of us in that cell. Who the hell took it? And he just owned up. He says, it was me. And we also had to say it's me, because he jumped up first to say it was him.
Mm-hmm.
Such was the bravery of Anwar Nagia. Such was a man that unselfishly gave to many.
Mm-hmm.
To me personally, it's a very tough time. I know for you too, and many others, thousands of them. And I'm sure that we will surely miss the definite contribution that he made silently. There are many things that he did silently that we can't even tabulate of how many stuff he did without the funfare, without anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the achievements that he did as a person is far greater than what he was.
Mm-hmm.
That will still stand with us as monuments and legacies for our generations to come, in particular when it comes to Palestine. You must remember Anwar is labeled as a businessman too, but he was never a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And alone, because he opened up the Palestinian Museum, they punished him financially because of his connection. The designers in this country, who controls most of the money of the earth, is what we have,
mm-hmm.
punished him in his business where he was. In one day alone, if he was alive, I told you, he lost billions in investments to his company.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved on.
Yeah.
It wasn't a matter of, I'm going to lose a lot, so I must keep my mouth. And this was the other characteristics under, like you quite correctly says, the majority of one telling the truth. And this was him. He was one. Whether you didn't like it or not, he told you what it was. And he will surely be missed. And I must say, to many, many things, we really didn't do justice to really appreciate him as what he was. And when you look back at our lives and what he was, and the impact that he had on all of us, I think it's a big hole that we're leaving. You know, he left. But I must say, the journey, I'm just saying, you know, alhamdulillah, we had our time. That journey that we walked together, I see you had Bash on, Judge Wagley, myself, Judge Wagler, and a number of others, and even the Dalai Omar. we were all together in our struggle together in order to do what we have. And even a person as young as Shaham Shamai, mm-hmm. that joined us in our anti-gentrification fight when she was much, much younger. The challenge that we're all sitting with now is to move forward and try to carry on with what Anwar has started. And inshallah, we need to all be brave and take on that baton and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's sometimes very difficult, you know, to speak about what Anwar did for so many years. I mean, my association with him was basically since 1985. I think I was about 15 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was my mentor at that point in time, in respect of the struggle, in respect of, our actions, on the street, against the security police. And he was always the one, who would actually advise us, if we went off the mark, he would tell us if, but as you say, he was fearless. And, of course, I always respected him for that. And of course, that mentorship grew into friendship, as the years went on. But yeah, he's going to leave a vacuum, that I don't think anybody can fill.
Absolutely,
exactly. Yeah. And, just the last thing I wanted to check with you. I mean, one of his last real acts of philanthropy was just prior to him going into the hospital. Mm. And that was to produce 1 million masks.
Masks, yes.
1 million, because I still drove him to the factory, and of course at the factory you would actually count the amount of masks that came out of there, because he wanted to ensure that every single person who could not afford a mask would have one.
Yeah.
1 million masks,
and
came out of
there. And this was even with his way in Mustadafi and feeding and carrying on.
Yes.
That 1 million masks, I was part of that job where the city council told him that his masks don't actually meet the standard that a mask should be.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to rework the whole design so that it meets the standards. And for Anwar, that was the greatest frustration at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But alhamdulillah, they did achieve what he achieved, what he had to achieve. And in his own way, man, there was never a question, I have to get somebody to do it for me.
Yeah, he would just
do
it.
He would get into the car himself and do it.
And I was chastising him and said, Anwar, I mean, you already got certain comorbidities, so why are you still doing this? And he just said, look, this is what he's supposed to do. So he still went out. I mean, look, obviously he wasn't admitted into hospital with COVID. He contracted COVID whilst he was there. He went for a triple bypass, but the reality of it was he was once again fearless, even in the face of a pandemic. He knew that other people's lives were a lot more important than his own. And of course, this is not just part of the journey.
But that was Anwar. He put other people in front of him before his own life.
Yes.
And even in the struggle, I mean, I know of many, many cases where he would put his life in front of ours, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, Usi, we can speak for forever about Anwar's contribution.
I feel it with you. You feel it with me. We knew Anwar.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, alhamdulillah, we were lucky to have some type of journey in his life and our lives.
Shukran.
And it will affect us forever.
Mm.
But we will be all in touch.
Okay. Shukran for that. In fact, you mentioned Shaham. We're going to have her on as a next guest to say some words of in respect of her interaction with Anwar.
Okay.
Shukran. Assalamu alaikum.
Salaam.
Salaam.
The voice of the Cape. The voice of the Cape. The Leadership Hour.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are back with the Leadership Hour with Ihsan Higgins, and you are doing a tribute to the late Dr. Anwar Nagia. We've had Judge Bashir Wagley on, we had Usi Shabuddin from Bokap, and now we have Shyam Samai. Assalamu alaikum, Shyam.
Assalamu alaikum, Ihsan, and also to the listeners of Voice of the Cape.
Yeah, Shyam, a very sad day for all of us. I mean, one of our activist brothers has fallen, and we obviously, you know, we need to pay tribute to Anwar, who was a great leader and, of course, a great motivator, especially to young people.
Yes, indeed, Ihsan. I mean, I when I was informed of Anwar, even though I knew that he was in hospital and he had the triple bypass and then contracted COVID, I mean, there was always the hope, because Anwar has gone through so much, and, you know, just that he's going to come out of this one. He has come out of so many things. And it was quite a shock, because I mean, I know Anwar for, what, more than 20 years. I mean, when I was a student at UWC, just came out, and through Buta Usi Shabuddin, I met him. And also, he taught me about, you know, the challenges of gentrification. I mean, I just had the law, and and how it actually impacts on the socioeconomic rights of people. He gave that humanness also, you know, to the law, in terms of, you know, always guiding me in terms of how it actually impacts on the poor and the working class. And that was invaluable. Those things they don't teach you in law school. And I think it was important for me, you know, in terms of my centering, also in terms of how I taught law, it was a value system that came, and it was rooted in our community. And those are the things that Anwar obviously taught us. It's quite sad. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked with him on, I mean, people from Beggar Square, Lewin Mansions, all the places. I mean, we worked in Sussex Street. We worked in the entire Woodstock, Salt River, Gympie. You know, Anwar used to drag me and bring me into all of these cases way back. I mean, it was in my early 20s. And, I mean, I always laughed, but we formed the Anti-Gentrification Front, which is the AGF. Mm-hmm. And there were technically only two members. It was myself and it was Anwar. And still today, the city still sends us, because we were registered with the city as stakeholder, and my parents still get you know, correspondence because 160 Footbrook was the address. Mm-hmm. But I mean, with anything, I mean, I did the legal part and he did the broad advocacy part, and that is how we operated. I mean, you know, with so many things and cases that we've all done jointly. And Anwar was the spokesperson and has helped us, you know, pushing an agenda within the communities and also broadly. Things that we as lawyers could not do.
Mm-hmm. And Shyam, we're getting so, you know, it's quite amazing how many people knew Anwar. And, of course, different sectors of the community that he was involved in. And here I'm getting a message from an informal trader who says, Salam, I'm deeply saddened by the passing of the esteemed Dr. Anwar Nagia. I'm an informal trader and he has inspired me so much. I can remember he was relaxing and he stood up and told to keep on fighting, and I fought the city tooth and nail. Shukran Anwar, may Allah grant you a high place in Jannah. Ameen, Ya Rab, from Mishka Qasim. I mean, I can think of so many entities, I mean, from the taxi industry, from the, I mean, of course, we all know about the District 6 thing and the different roles he played there. Taxi industry, I mean, he was everywhere at the same time. And, I mean, I still wonder how somebody like Anwar could have actually done, and I mean, and he was still a family man, and he still, you know, was the loving father and the loving husband to his family. Yeah, Shyam, is there anything else you want to add?
No, Ifshan, I just think that the community, you know, even South Africa, you know, I've lost a revolutionary, somebody that really contributed to so many things, as you've indicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that those people, all of us, will continue that particular legacy. It's very important that we continue fighting for what Anwar also just believes in, which is anti-gentrification, which is, you know, helping the poor and the working class with issues around socioeconomic rights, particularly housing. And I hope many of his projects that he started, that, you know, it should continue. Because it contributed to, you know, supporting so many people's lives. But shukran, Ifshan, for having me.
Shukran, Shyam. And shukran for your input. And yeah, we say to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Leadership Hour.
And we are back with the Leadership Hour. We are doing tributes to the late Dr. Anwar Nagia, whose janaza will be tomorrow at after Dhuhr at the Muir Street Masjid. Yes, we've got Brother Nadeem Hendricks on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Nadeem.
Walaikum salam, Brother Ishaan. How are you this evening?
Alhamdulillah. Nadeem, yeah, you have also been particularly close to Anwar, especially, you know, with regard to District 6. So if you can maybe just, you know, enlighten us a little bit about your interaction with Anwar Nagia over a lifetime.
Shukran for this opportunity. As Daddy, we're inside Anwar's house now. Okay, so doing all the arrangements. But it's very emotional, but I'll try my best. You know, Anwar and myself, maybe a year or two ahead of me, has been involved in the statistics for about 38 years. And I've grown with Anwar to be his right-hand man in terms of District 6 and his battle to ensure that District 6 is there for the people. Anwar had, and I want to speak about his philosophy more than anything else, more than the legal cases and things like that. Anwar's philosophy from the word go has not changed until this very day. And I say until this very day, and I'll explain that just towards the end. Anwar has always believed in one particular belief system, that District 6, every inch, every grass was a holy grail for District 6, for the people that was removed from District 6. He called anybody who attempted to steal land, take land, own land, without the return of the people to District 6 as a case of death. He says that nobody that occupies a particular piece of land that did not live in District 6 or does not have a legitimate right to return to District 6 will ever, ever succeed, because District 6 is land that belongs to the people of District 6. It was no surprise that in the year 2000, Anwar and some people took the government to court to ensure that not only the people who claimed in time, now we know that there were a lot of problems in terms of the claiming processes. The government failed in its duty to advertise the a restitution process to every corner of this particular country. And Anna was passionate that the people of South Africa did not know fully, every single soul did not know that they had the right to claim, wherever they claim over this country, for the return of the land that was stolen from them by the apartheid regime. So Anwar, he took him to court, and in the year 2000, Anwar won a milestone court order, whereby it was declared that the process would open for another 2 years to entitle the people to claim again. Again, after that particular 2 years, Anwar passionately, without hesitation, said one simple thing, and I say it exactly the way he said it. If the Jews up till today can still claim their particular claims against the Holocaust, why cannot the people of South Africa claim their rights if the government has failed to enlighten them of their particular rights to the land? So Anwar said in no uncertain terms that the District 6 Beneficiary Trust, and he himself, believe that at no stage was the process of people claiming back to come back to District 6 be allowed to refuse. It must be an indefinite opening of the process, because Anwar was passionate. When the government failed in Anwar, and I was part of that process, said, I want to build the first 20 odd houses in District 6. And then the two of us coined the particular phrase, the passionate phrase, let's build the first houses and ensure that the elders come back. That's why the first particular process that we had when we built the first row of houses in Chapel Street was to ensure that the elders returned. And that was famously returned by none other than the Madiba himself, who flew down because he took a personal interest in the return of the land to the elders of District 6. And we, especially myself, as the back room boy, had to make sure that Madiba come and hand over the keys. And then I must say the people of the Umma Close assisted me in furnishing those particular homes to ensure that when those Mr. Dan comes back, or Mr. Murat comes back,
Dan Plato.
Matabela.
Yeah. Okay, not Plato. I'm thinking of Matabela now. Inzabela, Inzabeza.
And they have in which to put their particular stuff. So it was a very emotional. Anwar then also then started to, then that particular process would not have succeeded, but then Anwar took his personal money. I know that. I signed the documents with him where he made sure the builders who build that gets paid to complete that process. And I think up till today, Nixon at Anwar is owed close to 800 to 1 million rand on that particular
Nadim, so Nadim, I just want to concur with you on that issue, because besides taking of his own money to get District 6 built, Anwar also stood surety for a loan that one of the banks, which I'm not going to mention now, and the bank actually issued summons against him, and of course against all the trustees, and we had to actually sit down with the bank, and they were quite, this particular bank, where they were quite insulting. Yeah. To the members of the trust, and Anwar stood his ground. In fact, he told me after this person of the bank started insulting us, saying, listen, yeah, this is all nice what you're doing about District 6, but listen, when am I getting my money? So, of course, we took a serious exception to it, and Anwar said, listen, it's okay, let's leave, I'll pay this money. And
you can remember, son, because you were at that stage, you also became very close to us. There's an unknown to salvage the Osborne Street
yes,
train.
That too, yes.
Remember that. Mm. And we also pumped in a lot of money, I may say, to ensure that the Osborne Street people do not lose their homes. Can you remember that, son?
Yes.
Mm. Right? So what I also want to say is that, so up to this very day, when this new project that they're building and trying to complete was supposed to complete it in 2017 next to the Technicon, we and the government engineered in such a way that the trust, that Anwar and the trust and myself and you were there, you and I went to face up the music at the Cape Town Convention Center, and we stood proudly to say that we will not be part of that latest development next to the Technicon, because we were not happy. Because Anwar believed in one thing, and this is what he must be remembered for. He believed in dignified homes. He believed in the right of the claimant together with their family. But the first and foremost right of the claimant, which is the elder, to have a particular area in the house, and the family thereafter can have the house. So Anwar refused to be part of the process where those houses, flats or apartments or RDP apartments that have been built there and standing there off and empty. Anwar firmly believed that that was never the idea in District 6. And he withdrew us from the particular process, only from that process, not from the District 6 process, because he did not want people to go into undignified homes. He made it very clear. We will build a home that is dignified. And until this very day, Anwar refused to bend backward on any particular way or to compromise with this government and three other presidents of this particular country and four other particular ministers and eight other particular mayors. Anwar refused to compromise in terms of dignified homes for the people of this country.
Nadim, I think you're missing a very, very big role that Anwar played, and that was to bring people that were merely tenants in a particular property in District 6.
Brilliant.
Anwar made it possible. He made it possible for tenants to claim ownership of properties. I mean, that land claims was almost, it was reserved for owners, previous owners. But through Anwar's intervention. Yes. Tell us about that because that for me.
You see, Anwar was so passionate that District 6 belonged to the people of District 6. But Anwar felt very strongly that the people of District 6 was deprived of ownership because of the owners of the land in District 6.
Yes.
They paid the rental for 30, 40 years, and the grandparents paid rental. And Anwar felt very strongly that it is not right for the owners of District 6 who happen to be, when I put it in the Jewish community and other communities amongst ourselves, Anwar felt that people that were tenants paid the rent for 30, 40 years, and therefore it's only right that their status must be uplifted in a court order equal to that of the particular landowners. That's why Anwar and the tenants and the people of District 6 that even doesn't have claims must see to the fact that Anwar coined a particular phrase myself with the National Ministry that they will return as land reform beneficiaries equal to the owners of this, owners of land. And that was a seminal victory that Anwar achieved in his life to ensure that even the ordinary, the poor, the indigent own a particular land in District 6 and equal rights to the owner.
Yes.
And that's why, Isan, thanks for reminding for that, because that legacy, Anwar, we must remember him for that. Must remember him.
Mm.
I just want to say, maybe the last one or two things. The last thing I want to say, Isan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening to you. We've got two minutes left, Andy.
A week before Anwar went into the hospital for the triple bypass, Anwar called me virtually every morning. And I spoke to you about it, and you advised me not to, and I followed your advice, and I followed Shiraz Desai's advice. Right? And Anwar made me promise that I am going to go out to the press with you and Shiraz, and Terence Smith, and Lisa Maiman, and Dr. Lucian LaGrange, and Lucian Bester, and Aweer, and whoever, and Parker, and everybody, and I'm going to call a press conference, that if ever anything happens to me, This is the only thing I want you to do, and I need to say that because on his bed, before his operation, which we have not seen him since then, Anwar made me promise that Nadeem, please have a press conference and go out there and tell the people that this particular court order that is presently instituted by government and by the so-called working committee and whoever is a betrayal of the struggle for the people to return to District 6, because it will only look after 900 homes, and Anwar knows and the government knows that we, and you and I, and the trust and the people were involved in a particular process whereby 5,000 houses can be built in District 6. And he says, Nadeem, please go tell that to the people. Make them understand 5,000 houses is possible, and make them understand that after this 900 houses, there's going to be complete betrayal, and the land is going to be sold off by the city and by the DA, and whatever the case may be, to the wealthy of this particular country.
Okay.
Even on his, I don't understand his deadbed, Anwar made me promise that, and made me promise that I pull you and Gerard into this particular process so that we can ensure that the people of the District 6. So I just want to end off because I'm becoming
really lost. Shukran, Nadeem. Nadeem, we have to break for Ishai. Now, shukran very much for your very candid, account of your interaction with Anwar. And we say shukran to you.
For the opportunity to Ihsan, because it's very close to Anwar's heart, my heart, and your heart, by the way.
Yeah, and tell this, if you are now there at home, there with
I'm
the family,
like
please send our best regards and condolences to the family. May Allah Ta'ala put sabr into their hearts and the best wishes of this entire community. We are with them and we feel their pain. Shukran very much. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After the Isha Salah, we now back on air. In fact, we're going to deviate a bit in respect of our programs. Remember, we were supposed to have had Mr. Hussein Imran on, but his life and his what he did during his lifetime as as an activist, and we should have had that was the one program. The other program would have been Sheikh Abdurrahman Alexander, who was going to speak about the topic from monogamy to polygyny, but now Sheikh has kindly rocked up at the studio, but because of this untimely demise of Dr. Anwar Nagia, we've decided we're going to continue, to deal with the issues of tributes pertaining to Dr. Anwar. Even Sheikh Alexander worked with him extensively. I just want to introduce Sheikh Alexander and greet him. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ihsan, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, just before we made Isha Salah, you said it's fine, we can continue the program on Anwar, and inshallah, maybe next week we can do that program, yes, from monogamy to polygyny. I know a lot of women especially wanted to hear this topic.
Mm.
And of course we've heard from Sheikh Kiran last week in respect of the Sharia point of view pertaining to polygyny. Mm. But of course you're going to speak to us about the more practical issues that people, when people move from monogamy to polygyny. But that we're going to keep for next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
But tonight we're going to continue the tribute to Dr. Anwar Nagia, who's of course been very, very close to a whole lot of the activists, within the Cape fraternity, in the South African fraternity. Sheikh, so we're going to continue chatting, and I'm very happy to have company with me, especially tonight, where I'm feeling particularly vulnerable. One of my best friends, passed on. He was not only my best friend, he was almost my mentor. Mm-hmm. He was my neighbor. He lives about 50 meters away from my house.
Wow, okay.
So, we were together practically every day, mm-hmm. So for me it's a huge loss, and I still have to process, mm. the magnitude of the loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been a regular on this program, whether it was on the legal issues or on and in terms of the leadership hour. So yeah, it's a process for me still. I think I have on the line at the moment, Mr. Kashif Wickham. Assalamu alaikum, Kashif. Are you online?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shukran, Kashif, for agreeing to come on air. And I do know that you have a message from the ANC, Jesse Duarte. But just give us, before you get to that, Kashif, I know that you also had a relationship with Dr. Anwar Nagia on many levels. Can you just give us a little bit of input on that?
Look, I think, Ihsan, certainly today is a sad loss for you and I personally and many others who had a personal relationship with Anwar. But it is a devastating loss for our country and the world at large. You know, and I must wear my hat as the Progressive Professionals Forum, the PPF president. Anwar Nagia epitomized what we want of South Africans, what we want of professionals, and we want what we want of business people, that of being a patriotic, caring human being. Anwar, with all that he has acquired in his business, alhamdulillah, shared that with the country at large with no preconditions of giving. He gave of himself, he gave of his time, and he gave of the wealth which Allah has bestowed upon him to others. And therefore then he lived the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think, like with the passing of Advocate Ishaa Muhammad less than a month ago, this community will realize the icons that we have amongst us, the heroes that we have amongst us. And what is sad, Ihsan, is that if one looks around us, who is going to take up the baton of people such as Comrade Anwar, as I used to call him? Whenever Anwar called me, and when I'm sure whenever he called you, it was never about himself, it was never about for himself, but it was about the plight of the marginalized. As the chairperson of the Mustadafin Foundation, he gave again of himself for the marginalized in our Western Cape, beyond culture, race, creed. And of course, Anwar was a working class hero, and he always said that the next struggle is a class struggle. It's not a gender struggle, it's not a race struggle. So I think if somewhat is left for us as activists is to continue the work in the name of Comrade Dr. Anwar Nagia. His commitment to the Palestinian struggle is unsurpassed. I mean, he built that Palestine Museum, and people will know it, and I'm sure it was mentioned earlier in your program, out of his own pocket, using his own money, and he was completely committed to that. Any excuse he had, he would take people to the Palestine Museum to show them what he was doing there. And again, the Palestine Museum is testimony of Anwar. The Palestine Museum would have had, and inshallah it will have, a church, a synagogue, and a mosque, all under one roof, for everybody to pray to God and celebrate God in the way that their religion asked them to do. So it's a certain Ihsan, a very, very, very sad day.
Shukran for that, Kashif. I mean, you certainly hit the hammer on the nail. We've lost so many of our activists. I mean, we've lost the likes of in the last 2-3 months. We've lost Dr. Jakut, Dr. Khan, Judge Jaji, who was sitting, was very, very close to us as an activist. We've lost Sheikh Siraj of the Azavia. We've lost Ishaa Muhammad. We've lost Mr. April of the Cape Malay Choir Board. And of course, now Anwar. So, I mean, it's quite devastating. I mean, these are people that we worked with, people that we know. They had the strength and the courage to stand up for communities. And alhamdulillah, as you say, we need to take that fight further and never forget the contributions that these wonderful people made to society.
Inshallah.
So, Kashif, can you play the clip maybe just introduce it quickly? It is from who? Is it Jesse Duarte?
Okay, yes. I made contact with Comrade Jesse Duarte literally about 45 minutes ago. She's the Deputy Secretary General of the African National Congress, the ruling party in the country. She was devastated because, as we all know, the Palestinian struggle was also very close to Comrade Jesse's heart. She did a voice clip, Ihsan, which I WhatsApp to you. I know you're on air. It's probably easy
for you to play. I think my mind is so preoccupied now with klom different goodies that I forgot that you sent the voice clip. But so you sent it to me, Kashif. I'm just looking for it. Okay. So I've got it. Yeah, shukran very much, Kashif. I will play the voice clip. And shukran for obtaining that voice clip from Comrade Jesse Duarte, and tell her we send our salams and regards. Okay.
Walaikum salam.
I'll play the voice clip now. Assalamu alaikum, Kashif.
Walaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum to the friends and family and comrades of Comrade Anwar Nagya. We wish to express our deepest condolences for this very brave comrade, anti-apartheid activist who assisted the people of District 6, a community leader. He was also a Palestinian activist. He was part of the breed of struggle heroes who was unmoved on his principles and the fight for social justice. And we believe that he had in every way represented the views and feelings of the marginalized people of both South Africa and during apartheid, the people of Palestine. We sincerely hope that his memory will live on. From God we come and to God we return. Assalamu alaikum.
And that was the voice note of Comrade Jesse Duarte. And we say shukran to her for that. Sheikh, just before I think they're trying to get Mr. Imran on the line. I did forget to mention one other activist early on that also left us in the last 2 months, and that was Mr. Shahid Ajam, that was with the District 6 Working Committee. We salute him as well for his courage and determination to return people to District 6. So, Sheikh, your interaction with Dr. Anwar Nagya, that was quite a unique situation, the one with the relics.
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, Brother Ihsan, and to all the respected listeners of the Voice of the Cape, I greet you with the universal greetings of peace, mercy, and love. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Brother Ihsan, you know, I am feeling so honored to be here with you on this panel tonight, on this program tonight. It's a very popular program, mashallah. And as you mentioned earlier, we were supposed to discuss the issue of polygyny, but I think it's just right that we postpone that program in honor of the memory of a great brother whom we have lost. And sitting right opposite you at the moment, I can actually see the emotional pain written on your face, having lost a dear friend, a brother, a comrade, a mujahid, a social activist, you know, and the accolades can go on and on. Brother Anwar Nagya, as I always called him, Brother or Haji Anwar, you know, we used to be very, very interactive with each other. Brother Anwar was a great friend of Masjid al-Quds also. And just earlier, Brother Sattar Parker, the chairperson, asked me to convey the condolence of the Board of Trust, the executive and the Imamate of Masjid al-Quds to the Nagya family. Because Anwar Nagya, alhamdulillah, he was twice or thrice, he was our Jumu'ah guest at Masjid al-Quds. We spoke very, very dynamic about the plight of the poor and the oppressed people. Also during lockdown, when we couldn't have Jumu'ah, we had Nasiha, Friday Nasiha programs. And he was our guest one Friday speaking on the Nasiha program. And he actually told my Masjid committee, he said to them that, inshallah, I'm booking Sheikh Alexander, the first Jumu'ah that we are going to have at the upcoming museum in District 6, the Palestine Museum. Sheikh Alexander will perform that Jumu'ah. So I was very close with him in that. And in fact, I also want to present to you as a gift a copy of my Hajj book. Mm-hmm. And right here on the inside cover, you'll see a photo where I and Anwar shared a photo together in front of the museum.
In fact,
I present you this copy.
Shukran for the book. But I am going to present that book to his wife, Aldila.
Please.
Because I think this is exactly... You know, firstly, I'm flattered that you're giving it to me, but I'm going to ask your permission to hand it to Valdila, who is his wife.
You may give it to Auntie Valdila, and at another time when I see you, I'll give you another copy, inshallah.
Shukran. Sheikh, we're just going to speak to Mr. Imran quickly. He's on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Imran.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Ihsan?
Alhamdulillah. It's a pity we are now on air under such circumstances. It would have been very different if we had to celebrate your legendary status that you have in the community, Mr. Imran. You know, from the time that I met you, I mean, I remember being very scared of you, extremely scared of you. I remember I was in Zenit 6 and people said, that's the principal. And you came and you gave us a huge scolding. And from that, I was extremely scared of you. And I think I only lost that fear maybe when I was about 30 years old.
But Ihsan, listen.
Yes.
Let me start. Can I start?
Yes, you can start, Mr. Imran.
As everybody knows, to the listeners of the Voice of the Cape, that I was the headmaster of Trafalgar High School for 30 long years. And although Ihsan said that this is a sad day for him, and I'm sure it is a sad day for many others, I won't say millions, but thousands, I want to say that I am actually happy in my own unhappiness. And I want to start, brothers and sisters, I want to start by making a dua for my dear friend, Dr. Anwar. Oh Allah, forgive my friend Anwar.
Amen.
And raise his level amongst the righteous guided. Oh Allah, expand his qabr and illuminate it with nur.
Amen.
Oh Allah, welcome him in his finest destination with happiness, success, and joy. O Allah, bless his qabr with a fragrance which you reserve only for martyrs.
Ameen.
O Allah, grant his family, his friends, and his loved ones sabrun jameel.
Ameen.
And replace their loss with khair, and unite them all in the Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, place Anwar in the company of the Muttaqeen, the Muhsineen, the Salihin, the Dhakirin, and the Abideen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mr. Imran, shukran very much for that beautiful dua. It's always nice to hear it from you, because you know when you speak with that voice of authority, and I hope you know the everything that you've mentioned now will come through, inshallah.
But I want to say something else, if you don't mind.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Imran.
Anwar was an extremely generous person. He was an extremely generous person. Somebody mentioned he gave 1 million masks free of charge to those who could not afford, you know.
That's right.
That was just one of the many things that we know about Anwar. The list goes on and on and on and on. I think Bashir, and I'm so glad, Bashir was a student of mine. Nadim Hendricks was a student of mine. I taught both of them. And you were also a student at Trafalgar, although I didn't teach you because you did math standard grade. You didn't do math higher grade, if I remember correctly.
Mr. Imran, can I just rectify you quickly? You refused to teach me. You said, no, you do not want to teach me. I must go find another teacher to teach me maths. And Mr. Javits was the only alternative.
Okay, let's leave that side. Leave it. But anyway, you were a Trafalgarian, and you and Bashir and Nadim Hendricks and also Siraj Desai. Yeah. You people represent, you epitomize the values of Trafalgar. And none other more than Anwar Nagia. He was, you know, a tremendously magnificent, excellent organizer. He became the chairman of the Cultural Society of Trafalgar, and he raised the level of debate by the topics which he himself chose. he chose the topics, you know, and it was such a high standard. And sometimes some of the teachers complained because they felt it was sometimes perhaps too radical, too political, whatever word you want to use. But he really raised the standard of debate at Trafalgar amongst the learners, as they call them today. In our days, it was called students. And also, I think Bashir mentioned the question of the one activity where he organized a philatelic exhibition. What Bashir did not say was that that exhibition, the value of that stamp exhibition, was over R500,000.
In that time?
Yes, over R500,000.
Was that in the that was in the 70s? That was in the 70s.
Yes, in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I had to get people to sleep, security people to sleep on the premises. And the Department of Coloured Affairs stopped me from that because they said, no, 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 nobody can sleep on the school. If anything happens to them, then the Education Department is responsible.
Mm-hmm. So what
they
happened?
They didn't want security. So I thought, what the devil am I going to do? In fact, one of the lads, I don't know his name, I can't remember, he brought his grandfather's collection, which was, I can't remember now what the amount of money was, but I just thought, to blazes with the department, I can't have the stamp collection in the room upstairs. I got three security men to sleep there, you know. And I can remember still in the morning, I still brought them some breakfast, you know. So that was Anwar. And also, he would organize, for example, Trafalgar to play against the Athletics Langa and Gugulethu. You know, he was that kind of person. And sometimes he would come into my office and he would sit behind the door so that the other teachers couldn't see him. And he was always just talking to me about what we can do to raise the level of the school, you know, the consciousness of the children. And he was extremely, I use the word generous, but I think it was his mother. Whenever I went to the parade, because in those days there were not many places that we could go to, and I used to frequent the parade because my other friends, the Essebs, they had fruit stalls there. And I'm almost certain it was his mother who had a kiosk there selling coffee and minerals and whatever else, tea and coffee. And whenever I meet him there, he would always speak about the school. And I can tell you this, he got his political education at Trafalgar. He subscribed to the political philosophy of the non-European unity movement.
No, no, the new unity movement.
It's now called the new unity movement.
Okay.
And also the values which were we as teachers under the Teachers League of South Africa portrayed, you know. He really represented to me the ideal Trafalgarian.
Alhamdulillah.
Really, I taught for 30 years, and many students went through my hands. But if you ask me this question, who epitomized the values of Trafalgar? Who represented what we at Trafalgar hold dear to our hearts? The first person that comes to mind is Anwar Nagia.
Alhamdulillah. Absolutely.
No,
agree with
I
you.
Tell you, you know, we have lost.
Mr. Imran, just quickly, were you also the principal of Dalla Umar, or was that before your time?
No, Dalla Umar was a year ahead of me.
Okay.
Dalla was a year ahead of me, but Dalla became very, very friendly with me when we were at university.
Okay. Okay, no, I just thought that was another, you know, luminary.
Another icon.
Yeah. Mr. Imran, the last thing, look, we are still going to have a program where we are going to be talking about your contribution to the to society and the struggle as, you know, as an educator and as an activist. So, inshallah, we can postpone that to next week. Is that okay?
No, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm so glad that, you know, I was able to say, leave me out.
Okay.
Leave my interview out. This
yes.
is more important than my interview.
Alhamdulillah. Now you're sounding like that principal I was scared of. Okay. So, okay.
But anyway, shukran for allowing me to say what was really in my heart.
Okay, shukran very much. Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Imran.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we are still, we've still got Sheikh Abdurrahman. Okay, we're going to go for a quick ad break. When we come back, we're going to have some more interaction in respect of, you know, Anwar's proud contribution to society.
The Leadership Hour.
Sheikh, I just want to say that, you know, people are pouring tributes to Anwar, and of course people from Trafalgar, you know, people somehow, and in case some people think that Anwar was only involved, you know, in high-level stuff, he also made a lot of time for sport, and he
yes.
made a lot of time for communities.
Yes, most
so, so now I think we got Sharif, are you on the line? Assalamu alaikum.
Salam, how are you guys?
Salam, Sharif was at the time, remember, his interaction was, Anwar's interaction with Collegians, the rugby club, and many other clubs that I know of, that he was involved in United and various
yes,
other clubs.
Yes.
But I know at the time, Sharif, you were the PRO for Collegians.
Yes.
Now, can you just give us a few, you know, a minute or two about
no,
your interaction
no,
with Anwar
no
at
problem.
The time?
No problem. You know, Egan's and
Sheikh Alexander.
Said, I'm thinking about it all. It's actually a sad day for Cape Town, man. Not just for Cape Town. I think Anwar Nagia was one of those guys when I met him. It was, to me, was larger than life. I met Anwar a couple of years ago when we were struggling. Collegians was struggling. Community-based club based in Mitchell's Plain, 40 kilometers or 35 kilometers outside of Cape Town, no bearing, no whatsoever on Anwar. One phone call, the man came to look at the club, he looked at us, he saw what was required, he saw what was needed, he saw the interest and the effort that is needed to bring the club to where it was, and also the help to, and what was more about uplifting the community, never uplifting a brand. It was uplifting the community. And because we had such a big number of juniors, it was very easy for Anwar to come on board. And it was one of the easiest sponsorship deals I've ever negotiated. And that is what resonates with him. He was a man that asked for so little, even in club terms. But he gave such a lot, man. And I think that is how we at Collegians will remember him.
Sharif, look, as I say once again, he really put his heart into the communities, especially on the Cape Flats. I mean, besides Collegians, there was many other youth organizations. I mean, anybody could come to Anwar and say, Anwar, I need this, I need that, and he'd not respond.
It was your problem. I mean, you could phone him if you can. Picture this. I phoned him one day. He says, okay, I'm Sherry from Collegians. I'd like to meet you. He says, what's about? I said, sponsorship or club in Mitchelton. He says, okay, gives me the meeting. And I think within less than 2 months, we signed and everything. And he asked, that was the beauty of a Diggins man. Mm-hmm. He asked for absolutely nothing in return. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the one that I said, I can put the name across the jersey. He said, ach, don't worry about it. We went to the next and we said that we should look maybe at buying place. He said, this is for this community. You will invest in this community. He asked for so little and he gave so much.
Mm.
And I think Cape Town is going to miss a giant of a man.
Absolutely. And Sharif, and also I know that you were also involved with assisting with the construction of the museum at one point.
Oh yes,
yeah.
So something which I believe with him and his son was a project manager, was very, it was something that was very near and dear to him.
Mm-hmm.
What we did was he asked us if we could assist with the building of the boardroom and a few offices, and we got on board with that also. That to me was more of an honor and a privilege to be able to assist with that. And when he had his travis, then Leila Kukada, me and the wife would go along, and because he had some of the most beautiful cars there that would butcher, and then we would go through, and then so he was busy in everything, man. And that is why it's going to be so difficult not to miss this man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sharif, shukran very much for this ad hoc, you know, calling on you to give us an interaction. But you also being a Mr. Emran will also be very proud of you. You also being an old Trafalgar old boy.
No, shukran. And like I said, may Allah grant him a high place in Jannah and place sabr in the heart of his family and his friends. Everybody had missed him because he's going to be missed.
Okay, shukran very much for that, Sharif. Assalamu alaikum.
Afwan salam.
Now, Sheikh Alexander is sitting here with me in the studio, and I'm so happy to have company in the studio tonight. Sheikh, you've heard all these things now. Now, your interaction with Anwar was very, very special.
Well said.
Because when he first told me about the relics that was coming in, it was all hush, and he told me, Ihsan, didn't get to be here, but you know. But at the time when he mentioned it, he was like, you know, he was cool and calm about it.
Yeah.
But never in my wildest dreams did I think that that particular relic exhibition was going to be of that magnitude. Mm-hmm. But you are better equipped to tell me about it.
Yes, most certainly. Before I touch on the actual event of the relics, Anwar Bhai, sometimes I used to call him Anwar Bhai and he used to smile. Anwar Bhai was also a very close family friend. In fact, when my eldest daughter Firdaus got married, he and his wife Antifal Dila were part of our guests, and Anwar was the keynote speaker at the wedding of my daughter. And as I say, was also a great friend of Masjid al-Quds. So when it came about his planning to host the relics from overseas coming, which contained the hair and the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some very special relics, we had a special meeting in which he told me about it, and he said, please get ready. I want you to be part and parcel of this great event. And I felt very honored. And I said to Anwar, you know, if a program of this magnitude, I don't think the space at the Cape Museum, at the Cape Town Palestine Museum, will be able to accommodate this. In the event you need to, I will speak with my board of trust and committee at Masjid al-Quds, and we rather have it at Masjid al-Quds. Let Masjid al-Quds host this event. And he thought about it and said, that's a brilliant plan. And amazingly, as things worked out, we hosted it at Masjid al-Quds, and for that weekend alone, the tally showed us more than 40,000 people came to witness this relics and this beautiful sacred event, spiritual event, which was hosted at Masjid al-Quds. And Anwar Bhai was very, very happy about this, and he couldn't thank me enough for standing with him and for making Masjid al-Quds the host of the
ceremony. So there was 40,000 people that saw the relics,
if not more.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, it's like so that was one of the items that you were involved with, Anwar, and of course he throughout, without Anwar's resilience, you know, that would not have taken place. You know, he interacted with people from Turkey. He interacted with the ears of you know, of people that was holding on to these relics.
Yes.
And you know, he made it happen, and it was very successful, alhamdulillah. But you were also involved somewhat with the issue of the Palestinian Museum.
Yes, most certainly. As you can see there in the book that I've presented to you, which you will hand to Antifal Dila, inshallah, there is a picture of myself and Anwar standing in front of the Palestine Museum here in District 6. Mm-hmm. And just now when he was distributing the masks because of the COVID situation, I was there with him, and I witnessed many priests, people of various denominations and faiths across the board came, and he handed masks to churches, to schools, to poor communities, and I also took some. And then it came time for Salatul Dhuhr, and Brother Anwar and I went upstairs to the mosque area in the Palestine Museum, and I made the adhan very loud, and he still made a video clip of it. I made the adhan and I led him in Salatul Dhuhr, and the man was in tears because the place is standing, and here finally some activity, some spiritual activity is taking place where the two of us was making Salatul Dhuhr there. And yes, even now that Allah has taken him away, whoever is involved with the museum, we of Masjid al-Quds will still give our full support for the museum, inshallah, to be launched officially and to open. And I can well imagine how sorely he will be missed by the thousands of Palestinian people who simply just love him.
I think Anwar definitely was a type of person that, I mean, his humility.
Oh,
he,
yes.
He never, ever... He was humble.
Mr. Plain Jane.
Yeah, Plain Jane. And he was, I don't know, I don't have words anymore. I mean, people now, the tributes are pouring in. I mean, people are sending messages, of gratitude to Anwar. And he obviously had a profound impact on society. And he will definitely be missed. And I just want to repeat quickly the janaza notice that was sent out by his family. It says here that the janaza notice reads: "It is with immense sadness that we announce the janaza of Dr. Anwar Nagia. Janaza will take place on Tuesday, the 29th of September, which is tomorrow, immediately after the Dhuhr Salah at the Zinatul Islam Masjid, which is in the Muir Street Mosque. Inshallah, strict COVID-19 protocol will be adhered to, and your sincere du'as are requested. And may Allah grant Anwar a high place in rank and place Noor in his qabr, inshallah." So I think, Sheikh, I just want to check with you. How does one now, how do you respond to this situation? You have a person who is still generally a young man. He was he was 62 years old. And how do you respond to this? A person... prime of his life, active in the community, active in building institutions.
Mm-hmm.
How do we now respond to this lacuna, or rather, let's all say in Afrikaans, a leemte?
Vacuum.
A vacuum.
Yes.
I'm speaking Latin when I speak about it. Lacuna.
Luckily, I understand.
Yeah, but lacuna was not the legal word, but we're not talking Leo now. We're talking. So let's talk about that vacuum.
Okay.
There's a vacuum, that's in society as a whole. How do we respond to it? From an Islamic point of view?
Look, first and foremost, we need to understand that irrespective of how great any person is, no one is indispensable. You can say maybe certain people will be irreplaceable, yes, but no one is indispensable. Sometimes Allah takes a person away for the community to realize what a vacuum that person filled. But now it is the community's duty to come forward and say, I'm prepared to take the struggle further. Nelson Mandela died. The struggle didn't die. The struggle went forward. Many of our heroes fell down. The struggle went forward. And it is so amazing, while we're on it, about the struggle. At this particular time, 27th, 28th of September, we now commemorate a great hero, the martyr, the great martyr, al-Shahid Imam Abdullah Harun. And it is so amazing that it is during this time that Allah takes Brother Anwar away.
51 years later.
Yes, as if Allah wants to bring to our attention that as you commemorate the great Imam Abdullah Harun, here is another person who leaving a vacuum now, who through his illness will also be granted. Because of the illness that he passed away on, he will also be granted martyrdom. So I don't think anything happened just by coincidence. There's a lesson in everything for us, because everything that happens is the unfolding of the divine plan of Almighty Allah. Now members of the community, and especially our youth, our young people, have to step forward and say, I'm prepared to step into the giant boots of Brother Anwar or Uncle Anwar. And although he was a giant and is leaving behind giant boots, I will try my best to fulfill his mission.
Yeah, and I think the youth are very, very familiar with Anwar.
Yes.
What happened was, when we had programs of the South African Academy for Young Leaders, I can't recall a single event I'm talking about a large event. Of course, there's been lots of small events, but I'm talking when we did large events.
Mm.
There wasn't a single one where Anwar did not make a speech.
Mm.
He did. He motivated people. He motivated young people. He had a very, very keen understanding of what made society tick.
Mm.
And the words, that will never leave my train of thought, is that truth is the majority of one.
Mm.
That was his mantra.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, we the noise of majority throws us out. Mm-hmm. And we think because everybody else says one thing, it must be truth. But Anwar searched for that truth. He always searched for the truth.
Mm.
And even if he was man alone and he stood alone, he will say, that is my truth.
Mm.
And that is the truth that he has researched. It's the truth of Islam.
Yeah.
It's a truth that didn't appear out of a vacuum.
Yeah.
But then he stood for that truth, and eventually he would find people following him in that truth. And I mean, that for me is probably the most valuable lesson that I got from Anwar, that you must believe in something despite the noise of the majority.
Yes. Yes. What stands out for me also from the life of Brother Anwar Nagia is that he was a no-nonsense person. He was not prepared to take anyone's nonsense, and he didn't tolerate justice. He had zero tolerance for injustice. And that is what stands out for me. This man, yet humble, yet loving, yet compassionate. He was a lover of the ulama. He was a friend of the MJC. He was a friend of all the shuyukh. And he always believed in respect for the ulama. And that is why you'll find the ulama in return. All the members of the ulama will always speak highly of Brother Anwar for his uncompromising stance. For his stance for justice. No compromise on anything that is wrong or oppressive. That is Brother Anwar, and that is the trait of a true Muslim.
And we would have loved to hear tonight, you know, from Judge Siraj Desai, who was extremely close to Anwar.
Yes.
He was Anwar's mentor in turn.
Mm.
And of course, the judge has survived him. I mean, the judge was at Trafalgar during the 60s.
Mm.
Anwar was there during the 70s.
Okay.
So, of course, they are not contemporaries at school, but of course, that is something that bound them.
Yes.
You know? And so tonight when I spoke to Judge Desai, he was way too distraught to actually do a radio interview.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was very relieved that Judge Bashir Wagley, you know, offered to speak. I mean, he was also very close to Anwar. And tomorrow, inshallah, at the janazah, while I was now on air, you know, of course, we talked, you know, to the family, etc. So tomorrow we will have Judge Desai speaking at his janazah.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say a few words. We'll have Maulana Abdul Khalik of the MJC also speaking at the janazah. And we're going to have a family member, Faik, who's going to be speaking on behalf of the Nagia family.
Mm.
So, inshallah, that will happen. In fact, a lot of people are asking. I mean, there's a third person now on this voice on the WhatsApp line is asking about Ibrahim Rasool, ambassador. I did send a message to Ibrahim Rasool earlier on, hoping he would come on air tonight, but unfortunately his phone, I don't see the blue ticks, which means never read the messages. But yes, he will definitely be saying something about Anwar soon.
Mm-hmm.
So to those listeners, inshallah, we will have that. We do take cognizance of what the listeners are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a last message here, and I think this for me is probably, you know, it's a simple message. It's like lots of messages, but the simple message is here. We must not forget that Dr. Anwar Nagia was the one who fought for the people of District 6.
Mm-hmm.
That for me defines, you know, the warrior spirit that resided within Anwar.
Mm.
So I think, you know, we can be very, very proud. As Mr. Imran said, yes, he said, but Anwar's life is worth celebrating, and that celebration will possibly, you know, carry us through when we in his memory.
Mm.
So, Sheikh, I would like you to we're almost running out of time now, but what I would like to ask, but let me first do an apology quickly. To those people that send me messages for the legal cafe and for the lawyers to answer, especially the marriage questions, because you knew Sheikh Alexander is going to be on tonight, I do apologize to all of you for not responding to it. But as you all know, it's a very extraordinary situation that we're faced with tonight. So those people are welcome to send their WhatsApps to the number 082-336-3778, 082-336-3778, and hopefully one of the lawyers can assist you with those queries that you may have, because I know that you can't wait for a whole week, you know, because your situation is urgent. So I do apologize for that. Sheikh, you wanted to say the last thing, but then I want you to make a dua, because that's how we live our lives, you know. And when we end our lives, you know, we make lots of dua for people, and hopefully that dua will assist them in the quest to get to Jannat al-Firdaus.
Ameen. I just want to say in conclusion, Brother Ihsan, yes, we're rightfully paying great tribute to Brother Anwar, but I want to salute another heroine, a true hero who stood by the side of Brother Anwar, and that is his wife Antifaldila and her family, for she stood with him, prepared to share him with the community, encourage him and support him in every way, and his sons and his daughters and his family, they stood with him. So also to them we say shukran, and on behalf of Masjid al-Quds, the Board of Trust and Executive, we convey our condolence and du'as to the Nagia family and to Anfaldila. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Brother Anwar Jannatul Firdaus and sabr and contentment in the hearts of all the families, inshallah ta'ala.
Ameen. So, and then this is the last, this is another comment here that Sheikh, is that somebody says, yes, Salam Ihsan, I remember a few years ago, Anwar Nagia did a lot for Voice of the Cape, like giving Epping Market free to the Voice of the Cape for the festival. And yes, that's obviously one of the legacies of Anwar Nagia as well.
Allah.
I mean, we all enjoyed that festival very much. So inshallah, may that be recorded as one of the very good deeds as well of Brother Anwar.
A legacy that we can never finish talk about.
No. But I mean, we're not finished talking about Anwar. Inshallah, tomorrow we're going to be at the Janaza. It's going to be after the war at the Muir Street Masjid. And people must remember, it's a COVID Janaza. Mm. So, of course, protocols will be observed.
Mm-hmm.
Those who choose to attend must please wear their masks. Mm. They must sanitize their hands. And, of course, they must observe a social distancing. Yeah. So on behalf of myself and the guests that we had tonight, you know, people that were on air with us, and Sheikh Alexander, shukran very much for your interaction tonight. And we want to say it's not a very pleasant evening tonight. I mean, death is never pleasant, but alhamdulillah, that is the will of Allah. So we say to everybody, shukran very much for tuning in, and we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.